this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
You know that every month, the government publishes the latest unemployment figures for the U.S. economy. Now, I don't know about you, but I've sometimes thought what it might look like if God were to publish unemployment figures for churches. In other words, if God were to reveal the percentage of people in every local church who are out of a job spiritually, who are unemployed for the kingdom of God, I don't know about you, but I suspect the figures for most churches would be shockingly high. Well, if you remember last week, we started a series of messages, three parts, entitled Christianity is a Team Sport. And in part one, we talked about the four dynamics of a great team, and we said that the only way we at McLean Bible Church are going to make a major impact on Washington, D.C. for the Lord is if we become a great team in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We also said last week that here at McLean Bible Church, one of our greatest weaknesses as a team is that we have way too many team members who are spiritually unemployed. People who are sitting in the stands watching instead of being down on the field serving the Lord with the rest of us. And for the next 2 weeks, this is what I want to talk to you about. Now, let me begin by saying that after being a pastor for 30 years, I believe the single greatest reason for this high level of unemployment among Christians is that so many of us don't realize that we have a divine purpose. We have a God-given reason for being here on this earth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations." The point is that even before Jeremiah was born, God had gifted him, God had designed him, if you will, with all of his unique strengths, his unique talents, his unique skills, so Jeremiah could fulfill a specific purpose for God in his generation. Now, this was true of King David as well. The Bible says, Acts chapter 13, verse 36, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, he died." And friends, this is not just true of David, and this is not just true of Jeremiah, but it's true for you and me and every other true follower of Jesus Christ. Each of us has a purpose of God to fulfill in our generation, a purpose for which God has uniquely designed us, for which God has uniquely gifted us, literally from our mother's womb. And understanding this as a follower of Christ changes everything. It gives our lives here on earth a sense of divine destiny. It makes serving the Lord with our lives not a matter of optional choice, but a matter of sacred duty. And so today in part two of our series, we're going to talk about this, that every Christian has a God-given ministry. And when it comes to this God-given ministry we all have, the more we understand what the Bible says about spiritual gifts and spiritual gifting, the more we get it. And so today I have four questions that I want to ask and answer about spiritual gifts and gifting. And here's the first one. Number one, what exactly is a spiritual gift? Well, first, why don't we talk about what a spiritual gift is not? Spiritual gifts are not natural abilities, natural talents, or natural skills. Playing the piano, painting, shooting scratch golf, having a great singing voice, having a charismatic personality. These are not spiritual gifts. They are natural abilities. And it's true that sometimes God chooses to spiritually gift a person in an area where they already have a natural ability. And in such cases, God merely heightens our natural ability with the power of the Holy Spirit. He infuses into our natural ability His supernatural power. It's kind of like the space shuttle. You know, it's got the big brown rocket in the middle, but the big brown rocket can't get the job all done all by itself of getting this thing into orbit. So they put boosters on both sides of the big brown rocket to make sure it can get the job done. Well, friends, our natural abilities and talents are like the big brown rocket. And if God decides to turn our natural ability and talent into a spiritual gift, He puts the boosters of the Holy Spirit on either side to give us that extra power we need for it really to become not just something that is natural, but something that is supernatural in our life. However, most of the time, God does things differently. Most of the time, God gives people spiritual gifts in areas where they have very little, if any, natural talent, because then, when God uses that person in a mighty way, God gets all the credit and all the glory goes to God. You know, when I went to seminary, I had a professor named A.W. Jackson. We called him Pastor Jackson. He was the pastor at Cherrydale Baptist Church right here in Arlington, Virginia, and he had been for 25 years. And one day in seminary, I remember Pastor Jackson telling us as students about his call to the preaching ministry. He told us how he'd been raised on a farm and how as a child he had had a terrible stuttering problem. And as a teenager, he was in the barn working when he said, "I heard just as clear as a bell, God calling me and saying, 'Al, I want you to be a preacher.'" And he said, "I turned to God and I said, 'No, God, that'll never happen.'" And he said, "God said to me, 'Al,'" he said, "'you just step out in faith and do what I tell you to do.'" Well, this man went on to spend 40 years preaching the gospel. And I sat under his ministry many, many times. He was a powerful man in the word. And here's the amazing thing. When he was preaching the word, never once did I ever hear this man stutter, ever. Now, how do you explain this? How do we explain a natural-born stutterer becoming a powerful preacher like this? Well, the answer is we explain it by the supernatural gifting of God. That's how. And my point, friend, is that if you sense God ever calling you to serve Him in some way, but you don't feel that you've got the natural talent and ability to do it, don't you be afraid to step out in a faith and obey God's call anyway, because when you do, you'll discover that God loves to give us spiritual gifts in areas where we don't have a lot of natural ability so that all the glory goes to Him. This principle reminds me of Dwight L. Moody, the greatest evangelist of the 19th century. His biographer said that Moody was responsible for leading over 1 million souls to Jesus Christ between the years of 1850 and 1899. But Moody only had a third grade education. His diction was atrocious. His grammar was atrocious. His syntax was atrocious. And yet God used him to shake 2 continents for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, in 1883, he was invited to come speak at Cambridge University in England. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And when he went and spoke there, there was an enormous revival that broke out at Cambridge University and in the community around Cambridge University. And one London newspaper reporting on this amazing revival said this about Mr. Moody, as only the British could say it. And I quote, the newspaper said, Mr. Moody is so uneducated and so uncouth that this work is most plainly of God, because it certainly cannot be of him, meaning Moody. And you know, when somebody read that to Moody, that this was in the paper, Moody's response was, praise the Lord, this is exactly how things ought to be. Huh? Praise the Lord for that. Well, you say, okay, Lon, so I got what you're saying, a spiritual gift isn't, but how about telling me what a spiritual gift is? All right, let's define it. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's notice three important things about this definition. Number one, let's notice the source of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are a God-given ability. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, when it comes to spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit gives them to each follower of Jesus Christ, just as he, that is God the Holy Spirit, chooses. The point is that spiritual gifts are just that. They are gifts from the Lord, divinely bestowed upon us as Christians at the sovereign pleasure and the sovereign choosing of God. When you and I come to Christ, God doesn't hand us a little form with all the spiritual gifts listed on it and little boxes next to them. And God doesn't say, all right, check off all the gifts that you'd like to have and we'll put that in the hopper and see. Oh, no. Friends, God gives us the gifts he wants us to have. And oh, by the way, they've been given to us before we ever come to Christ, because they're given to us from our mother's womb. It's just that God activates them when we come to Christ. Number two, notice the essence of spiritual gifts, and that is they are a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry. And the key word here is the word supernatural. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, after listing a number of spiritual gifts, says, but one and the same Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, works through all these gifts. The Bible teaches that when we as followers of Christ are using our gifts properly, the Holy Spirit himself is flowing through us and bringing Jesus Christ to bear on people's lives in a way that produces supernatural results in their lives. For example, take a secular therapist and put them in a jail and let them bring all of their professional training and expertise to bear in talking to the prisoners about their problems. And when that therapist is done, not one supernatural thing of any kind will have happened in that jail. But friend, you take a Christian with the gift of evangelism and you put them in that very same jail and let them talk to those very same prisoners about their very same problems. And when they're done, there will be supernatural fallout all over that jail. Prisoners who've accepted Christ. Prisoners who've rededicated their life to Christ. Guards who've made decisions for Christ. How do we explain the difference? It's very simple. Natural gifts can produce natural results, but only spiritual gifts can produce supernatural results. Finally, let's notice number three, the purpose of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities to perform supernatural ministry for ourselves. Is that what that says? Are y'all awake? Hello? Yeah. You out there? All right. For ourselves? Is that what that says? No, it says for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as every believing person, that is believers, have received a spiritual gift, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Watch, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In other words, my friends, to use our spiritual gifts for personal benefit, personal glory, personal advancement is an utter perversion of why God gave us those gifts to begin with. When I think of this, I think of George Whitefield, the great leader of the Great Awakening here in America from 1740 to 1770. George Whitefield had one of the greatest speaking gifts in the history of mankind, one of the greatest speaking voices, one of the most compelling speaking abilities in all of human history. David Garrick, widely regarded as maybe Britain's greatest actor of all time, but certainly one of them, said, and I quote, he was a contemporary of Whitefield, and he said, and I quote, "George Whitefield has the power to move an audience to weeping merely by the way he says the word Mesopotamia." He also went on to say, "I would give £100 just to be able to say the word, oh, like Whitefield does." Now, you may not know David Garrick, but I bet you all know Benjamin Franklin, don't you? Benjamin Franklin lived in Philadelphia during the years 1740 to 1770 that George Whitefield was preaching here in America. And one time when Whitefield came to Philadelphia, Ben Franklin, who was not a believer, but was very intrigued by Whitefield, went to hear him in Philadelphia. And at the time, George Whitefield was collecting money for an orphanage that he was starting in Georgia. And here's what Benjamin Franklin said, and I quote. He said, "I went," that is to hear Whitefield, "resolved not to give 1 cent. But as Whitefield spoke, first I decided to give all the copper coins I had in my pocket. Then I decided to give the silver ones too. By the time he was finished, I emptied my pockets completely into the collector's dish, gold, coins, and all." End of quote. Hey, folks, we're talking here about the penny saved as a penny earned guy. You know what we're talking about? And the Bible says Whitefield convinced him to empty his pockets, gold coins, copper coins, silver coins, everything into the offering plate. My gosh, a person with a gift like this could have used it for all sorts of personal benefit, all sorts of personal glory. Why, he could have been the greatest actor in the world in his day. He could have been the most powerful politician in the world of his day. Whitefield could have been a salesman and made millions of dollars in his day, but instead, for 30 years, George Whitefield rode up and down the 13 colonies on horseback, preaching Jesus Christ, using his spiritual gifts for the glory of Christ, leading tens of thousands of colonists to Christ. He wrote to his good friend John Wesley and said, and I quote, "What will become of me, I do not know, but I have decided that the good of souls and the glory of God will be my only plan of action." End of quote. Friends, this is what it means to use our spiritual gifts properly. It means using them to influence people for Jesus Christ and not for self. It means using them for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ and not for self. So let's summarize. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads us to question number two, which is, well, who has them? That is, spiritual gifts. And the answer is, every single follower of Christ has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Now, to each one of us," that is, as believers, "the manifestation of the Spirit," that is, spiritual gifts, "are given for the common good." Friends, the Bible is airtight. If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, then you have at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one. Now, you may not know what they are, and those gifts may be lying dormant inside of you, but if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can promise you they are there. And God wants you and me to discover what our spiritual gifts are, and then he wants us to use them in the service of the living God. So, let's summarize. What have we learned today? Four things we've learned. Number one, we've learned that a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've learned, number two, that every Christian has a God-given ministry because every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. We've learned, number three, that God wants us to find out what our spiritual gifts are so we can use them to fulfill our divine destiny, to fulfill God's purpose for us in our generation. And number four, and finally, we've learned that the power with which our gifts operate depends not on how gifted we are, but how filled we are by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to leave you with a question today, and here's the question I'd like you to walk out of here asking yourself. The question is, what am I doing specifically to serve the Lord here at McLean Bible Church? Or to put it another way, am I fulfilling or at least searching for my God-given ministry here at McLean Bible Church? Or to put it even another way, am I giving to the Lord here at McLean Bible Church of my time, my energy, my service, my resources? Am I giving to the Lord in such a way that when I get to heaven, there will be a line of people waiting to greet me and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that got changed. Now, friends, if the answer is to these questions is I don't know or no, then we want to help you get an answer to these questions. And the reasons are two. Number one, because as a church team, we can't maximize our impact here on Washington, D.C. without every member of this team fulfilling, carrying on their God-given ministry. And number two, the second reason we want to help you with this is because you'll be shocked, my friends, how much you will grow spiritually in your personal walk with Christ when you serve the Lord. And we want this for you. We want you to have the joy that comes from serving the Lord with your life, and the excitement that comes from serving the Lord with your life, and the spiritual growth that comes from serving the Lord with your life. And to help you with this, beginning next week, for a couple of weeks, we're going to have a mechanism at each one of our campuses where you can learn about various ministry opportunities, where you can talk to people about how to get involved. But friends, this is what it's all about. God didn't put us here on earth to amass power and money and fame and fortune and creature comforts. That's not why we're here. He put us here to do a God-given ministry, to serve Him in our generation for the purpose of God, that He created us. And that's how we need to see our lives. When people say, what are you living for? That's what we need to answer. I'm living to fulfill the ministry for which God put me here on the earth from my mother's womb. And when we do that, hey, then life takes on the kind of fulfillment and dynamic that it's intended to have. So we're going to try to challenge you to do that, and I hope that you will. Next week, we're going to talk about, okay, Lon, so I've got a God-given ministry. Okay, Lon, so I got some spiritual gifts. You still haven't answered the question, why should I use them to serve the Lord? Give me some good reasons why I should. We'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, remind us today why we're here. Remind us of what you said to Jeremiah, that from before his mother's womb, you knew him, you gifted him, you called him, you appointed him, you set him apart, as the Bible says, to do a ministry for you in his generation. And Lord, I pray you would give us that same understanding of our lives, that from our mother's womb, we were called and prepared and gifted by you to do the same thing. And I pray you would give us a passion to want to find that ministry and a passion to want to fulfill that ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. So speak to our hearts deeply, Father, and change the very way we view our life and our existence here on this earth, because we were here today and we sat under the teaching of the Word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sow What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?